everybody. Welcome back to episode 6 of the Friends and Faith Collective. I'm Sam.
I'm Marina.
And today we're going to be talking a little bit more about vulnerability. I think we've touched a little bit here and there, but today we wanted to use it as our main topic and, dive a little bit deeper. We are so happy you're here, and thank you for being patient. We had a little bit of a technical difficulty hiccup, and we're planning to drop an episode last week, and we sat here for probably an hour and a half or 2 hours trying to figure out what the problem was, and the two of us couldn't figure it out. However, good job, Marina. She figured it out.
Finally.
This is also new to us, and all of this equipment feels like a foreign language at times, I think. And for so, sure. Yeah, so good job on figuring that out. Proud of you.
Thanks. Kind of proud of myself, too. Call me for all your tech questions. I'm totally kidding. Don't do it.
No.
I won't help you.
So, each week we talk about what we're going to talk about every time we go to record a new episode, you know, what the topic is going to be. And I tend to always go to Pinterest. I don't know why, but that always seems to be like my search engine to find all of my information. Something I found on Pinterest that I really liked, it talked a little bit about vulnerability. It says, I think it's scary to be vulnerable, to let someone else undress your emotions and study the nakedness of your soul, to allow them to see beneath your eyes, into the bleeding of your scars, to run so fast into their arms without knowing if you will fall, to place your trust inside their hands, unsure if you will slip between their fingers. But I also think it's scary to never try, to never give your heart a chance to beat for another, to never fall in love with the possibility that someone unexpected can walk into your life and change it forever. And I think that's really more geared towards vulnerability in the sense of falling in love with somebody. But I loved the part where it talks about to allow them to see beneath your eyes, into the bleeding of your scars, and to run so fast into their arms without knowing if you will fall. And I think a lot of times when we are up against a moment that is requiring us to be vulnerable, that's where that fear kicks in. Is this person going to catch me if I fall? Is this person going to judge me? Right? You know, what are the things that stop us from being vulnerable? And I think, like I said, fear is a pretty big one that mm-hmm. stops us. Judgment, being so worried about what someone else is going to think about us. Pride. A lot of times people who tend to be more prideful, which that goes hand in hand with judgment, but that mm-hmm. pride of I will only let someone see me in this way, shape, or form, that allows them to build a giant wall up so that nobody can see past it. Protecting ourselves. I know I think it was our third episode was the episode that I was talking about handing over the rug. That was huge for me, was I'm never going to hand over this rug because I'm protecting myself. Mm-hmm. And also I think a big, huge, massive one is hiding from the truth. There's a lot of people who are not willing to be honest with other people, but who also can't look in the mirror and be honest with themselves. And that's a pretty scary spot to be. Yeah.
Say that last one more time. About being honest.
Yeah. It's if you're not willing to look in the mirror and be honest with yourself, if you're not willing to be honest with other people, I think you're missing out. And it's something that I learned the hard way a long time ago. You know, I took a look in the mirror and said, why am I at where I'm at in life? And I've always been someone who didn't have a lot of that close 2 to 5 people, mm-hmm. friendships, connections that we talked about in the last episode. And it's something that I've always seeked to have, and I think the village has existed and been there, but I've always wanted that one step closer. Mm-hmm. And especially in high school, I had a pretty rough go around, you know, at that age. High school was a very rough experience for me. And it changed me in a lot of ways, and it built huge, massive walls built of brick and stone and concrete that you are going to have to spend years chiseling away to knock down. And at some point between then, probably my mid-20s, I looked in the mirror and thought, why don't I have any friends? Why do I always feel like this? Why am I always feeling like I keep ending up here in this spot? And I kind of put the math together and thought, well, in each of these separate scenarios, what's the common denominator? And it was me. And I'm sorry, but gosh, it was such a horrible feeling to come to that realization. And I'm not saying, right, like the grass is greener on the other side. It is. But the work it takes to get to that point is super ugly. And it's taken me a long time to, one, accept that I was the common denominator. And it's like a sidebar. I've always, you know, like people have come to me for some reason. I do have people who come to me and ask me for advice. And I'm not always sure why people choose me to be that person for them. But that's happened a lot in my life. And after I had been in counseling for quite some time, you know, there was a few instances where I felt it was necessary. I shared it with people of, oh, have you ever considered, you know, trying counseling or seeing a therapist? You know, it was super helpful for me and totally changed my life. It saved my life. And I'm not sure that I would have made it through that season of life without it. And I shared the reasons why and that it's given me a tool belt to be able to, well, let me back up. First, it gave me the self-awareness. I never had that. And I think that's where I'm coming from of saying, looking in the mirror and realizing that you're the common denominator. Two, it gave me a tool belt. Okay, once you see it and you accept it for what it is, what are the tools I need to get out of it or to stop doing it or to change, to make the changes that are necessary to be something different because I'm unhappy with where I'm at. And something I've told a lot of people, and by a lot, I mean, you know, maybe between 5 and 8 people. It's not like the masses are coming to me for advice, but
line up, take a number, guys.
Yes. But I've always said at the end of the day, this was before, this was before I started to seek a walk, you know, with God. But something I always said was at the end of the day, you go to bed with your mind and your mind only. Whether or not you're single or not or married or not or, you know, whatever the case is, you go to bed, whether there's a person there next to you or not, like you're stuck inside of your brain all day long. So if you can't accept these things for what they are and look into your tool belt and figure out how to get out of it, you're going to be stuck in a pretty dark, ugly spot for a long time. And if you're comfortable with that, good on you. But I don't think many people are. But to truly get through that time, to get to the other side, that ugly journey, it's consistency, number one. Number two, it's being uncomfortable. 90% of the time. We'll say 80. 80% of the time, it's about being uncomfortable. And in accepting it, in being consistent, in being in the sitting in the uncomfortableness of it is vulnerability. And no matter what in this life, nobody can tell you that anything is more important than love, right? Or God, your relationship with God and the love from God. And I truly believe that. We talked about before leaving a legacy and what do you want said about you at your, at the end of your life, in your eulogy, at your funeral. The people that show up are there because they love you, right? I've been in a situation where I've seen someone get really sick and they were on their deathbed, and it was, nothing was more important in that moment of that person's last few minutes of life than the love from his family. Mm-hmm. There's nothing else that's more important than that. So inside of all of us, we always are seeking to give love, to receive love. And there's something missing between where we're at and what's missing in the in-between. And it's vulnerability, because that's what's going to bridge the gap of not having that connection to having it. And you had sent me, sorry to interrupt you, you had sent me a quote recently, and it said that vulnerability is the only bridge to build connection. And I truly think that that's spot on.
Absolutely. You're talking about invulnerability, not just with others, but even within yourself. Mm-hmm. How Sam talked about looking in the mirror. A lot of times we don't want to deal with past hurts or issues or things, or admit that we are the common denominator. So allowing that vulnerability within yourself to grow as well. But allowing that vulnerability with others to be able to get past that acquaintance gap that we talked about in our last episode in the book of how to find your people. We have the acquaintances at the top. At the very bottom is that close 2 to 5 friends, and somewhere in the middle is that village. But a lot of times we don't get to that, those close few people, until we allow ourselves to be vulnerable. And touching on what you said earlier about vulnerability, I think a lot of people choose not to let that part show because of, one, can I trust this person? Two, I know that's one for me. I tend to trust everyone easily, so to speak, until you've kind of given me a reason not to trust, where I think that's why I make friends with a lot of people, but then I end up, you know, I have to put boundaries and my guard up and stuff like that too, where I have seen others who are like, I'm not letting you in until I absolutely know I can trust you.
Yeah, that's
and
me.
It's both, look, then again, opposites attract. Mm-hmm. I'm like, yeah, I trust you until you give me a reason not to. And Sam's like, nope, you got to work. Show me that I can trust you.
You got to work for it.
Yeah. And so I think that's a key, a huge thing for people is trust. But not only that, is having to feel, because of past hurts from friendships, like you mentioned also, of can I trust this person because I trust a person before and they let me down. Also the pride on how you touched in and like the image of like, I've got it. I've had friends. I had a friend who I absolutely loved. She was a very strong friend in my life who kind of checked all the boxes. Like, she would pray with me, she would encourage me, we would dance and goof off and have a good time, she would talk some sense into me. She was just the all-around friend. Unfortunately, we're not friends anymore, and that took a big hard hit for me emotionally, because I had to work through that grief of losing that friendship. But going back to it, is one of the things that I've seen amongst a few common friends or people in my life is they have that wall up, and I don't know the reasoning why, but I can only get connected so far, mm-hmm, because they're not showing that vulnerability and opening up to me. And so in that manner, not that I don't feel I can't trust them, but because they're not willing to trust me with their emotions or the dark parts of their life or the thing that they have fear over or scares them, like letting those walls down, if they don't open up to show that they trust me, then I feel like I can't trust them completely with those things, mm-hmm, either, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
And so that appearance of like, oh, I have to have everything together, or something happened and they just like, no big deal, brush it off, push the emotion down, I'm good, I'm not tripping over this person or this thing. It's almost like, I know it's a defense mechanism and it's coping that we're dealing with on that manner, but
yeah,
it's hard in the sense of wanting to make that connection, because if you look like you have things all together and you have life figured out, and I'm over here knowing that I'm an emotional mess and I deal with X, Y, and Z, but you seem to like have it all together, I'm not going to feel comfortable connecting with you in that manner because you're showing me that you're perfect and I'm not.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm scared to let you see that part of me.
Yep.
You know what I mean? And so that vulnerability is huge. It's key for building those strong connections. Like you said on the quote, it does bridge the gap to being able to truly connect with people. For those that wonder, why don't I have friends, or why can't I keep friends, or why do I feel so alone? I want to ask you the question of, are you allowing yourself to be vulnerable? Are you allowing others to see pieces of your life that are not so pretty? Now, granted, you don't go spilling your life and drama to everyone out there. No, you have to be mindful with who you feel you can trust. But outside of that, if you're not allowing yourself to be vulnerable and show bits and pieces of that, then how do you expect to get those connections? You're going to stay, like you said, in that dark space of where are my friends, or where are my people, or how come I don't feel connected? Well, are you letting them know your struggles? Are you letting them know the things that you deal with? Are you opening up? You know, we talked about the Monica closet, like a couple episodes back. I'm allowing friends to come in and say, hey, you can come downstairs and look at my living room and my front room because it's pretty. I cleaned it. I knew people were coming. I knew you were coming in. So go ahead, check it all out. But don't go in that closet that I shoved everything in to make it look like it's so pretty and perfect out there. We tend to let people in certain areas of our life, but don't get into the ugly closet, because if you do, I'm going to be embarrassed and you're not probably going to like me anymore after you see everything that I've hidden there.
Yeah, my skin is crawling right now because I know that one, the Monica closet in real life, like my family, my friends, my husband's family can all tell you that they can physically feel my anxiety when they come over, because they're like, Sam, there's dishes in the sink. And I'm like on fire inside because I can't believe that I have people in my home and I have dirty dishes in the sink. Like, ooh, don't get me started. Or there's been times where my husband is, you know, having a friend over or something, and he's sometimes a last minute planner and I'm at work, or I'm somewhere and I can't come home and change what my house looks like before this person comes over, and I am blowing up my husband's phone. Like, I know that there's chonies sticking out in the laundry. I know that I have bras hanging on the dresser because that's where I hang dry them currently. And I know that there's probably toothpaste spit in the sink, and there's dishes in the sink, and there's so many weeds out front. Make them freaking park down the street. Like, but that is such a reflection of into my emotional, personal, real life as well, because I've said it on here so many times, I'm a hermit crab. But that hermit crabness is not just in the sense of being an introvert, but it's also in the sense of my pride is big. It's not as big as it used to be, and I'm proud of that, and that's healing, and I'm stoked that I've done that work. But it still very much is a thing, and it comes exactly like you said. It comes from being hurt, and it comes from trauma, and it comes from grief, and it's, you know, started at a younger age for me with high school, and then I had a relationship that blew up and hit the fan, and that was real bad. The grief that I felt in high school, the grief that I felt from that relationship, losing a family member to divorce, that totally rocked my world. And the grief that I felt from that, and they were all people that I had so much trust in, and it was trust that I gave willingly, and I volunteered my trust. Here you go, you can have it. And totally crushed me down to skin and bones. And so my unwillingness to be vulnerable comes from such a deep hurt in my heart and soul that I'm so fearful that I'm going to feel that way again. Mm-hmm. It's like I was saying about the rug. I would never give the rug to somebody else ever again. It does. It comes from times of hurt. But we're never going to heal that. One, if we don't look in the mirror. Two, if we don't accept it for what it is. Three, if we don't get uncomfortable. And four, if we don't try to be vulnerable again. And
think about how many relationships, friendships, things that you, not you speaking, but just us as general, have pushed away because we didn't want to be vulnerable. Mm-hmm. Because of the past hurt. And it's almost of like, I think if you've ever heard that quote, like, what if I fail? And it's like, well, my darling, what if you succeed?
Yeah.
Kind of the same thing with the vulnerability of, well, what if this person hurts me again? I don't want to go through that pain. I don't want to go through that hurt. Nobody wants to experience that and go through that. But how are you expecting to get something so beautiful on the other side of that and have that friendship that you long for if you don't try?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the expectation is a big part of it as well. I looked in the mirror and thought, why don't I have these things? And that was, I had an expectation that I should have these things. And the only way to meet that expectation was for me to change. Mm-hmm. And I saw something else on Pinterest. It says, vulnerability is not winning or losing. It's having the courage to show up and be seen when we have no control over the outcome. Vulnerability is not weakness. It's our greatest measure of courage, from Brené Brown. That's the vulnerability is not a weakness, right? I was talking about pride earlier. Mm-hmm. Someone who is very prideful, that's me. And I was so much more prideful at a younger age. But that was a huge aspect of it. I am not going to be vulnerable because I will not lose. I'm going to win. And I'm not going to let somebody have one over me because I was vulnerable. Mm. You know, that I don't know how to put it into any other words than that. It was truly, you will not beat me because I won't get vulnerable enough to let you beat me. I'll win.
So that's still the wall that's built up.
Yeah. And it comes from her. And it even started at, I think, a younger age even than that. And I can't pinpoint where that came from. You know, I don't know. I have more of a, I think, alpha personality and more of a dominant personality. I have some very controlling tendencies. And so I think a lot of those things kind of go hand in hand. But I had to unlearn some of those behaviors and some of those emotions, and I'm still learning how to do it. I still see it very much all the time in my day-to-day life. I have a good friend of mine who has offered, multiple friends who have offered to help in times of like low points in finances for me. And, you know, let me get your lunch. Let me just get it for you. And my pride is like, absolutely not. Am I going to let somebody else pay for me? Or let me loan you the money. I don't mind. I don't need you to pay it back in a certain amount of time. And it's like, nope, absolutely not. Like, I'm not going to allow that because my pride is so much bigger than that. And I will not be seen as a weak individual. And it gets me nowhere at the end of the day, thinking that I'm going to win because I'm not going to win in not being vulnerable. I'm going to win in being vulnerable.
Let me ask you a question to piggyback off that, because it's something that God showed me in my life in that area. Do you like to bless and give and do for others?
I do.
Okay. It's very hard for those. I am one that likes to do the same thing. And when people have offered to pay for my meal or treat me to this or do that, I would fight it and say, no, absolutely. Like, I got it. I'm okay. And God had to check me and say, you love to be a blessing to others. why can't you put your guard down and let others be a blessing to you? Just as well as it makes you feel good in doing and blessing others, you're robbing someone else of that joy because your pride won't let you say yes to the blessing.
Yeah, I've never thought about it that way. You know, I've never put myself in the other person's shoes or looked at it from the flip side of the coin's mm-hmm. perspective. My parents are probably going to watch this and say, oh, really? You don't want to take money from nobody? It's different when it's your parents, okay?
Yes. Bring it on. I'm just kidding. But yes, this is all great discussions on vulnerability, and it's something that we saw so evident at our function. We had our first girls get together to celebrate the launch of our podcast. Our mocktails and music was a great success. We had so much fun with the ladies that came out to join us that night. There was music, dancing, laughter, even some tears that we didn't expect to take place. And it was such a beautiful thing to see as we closed out that night, sharing what's been on our hearts and where we would like to see this community move forward in connecting in the events and things like that, that we did have some ladies open up and share mm-hmm. in that conversation at the end of the night. Yeah. And one of them did mention a topic of something of an area that was kind of a struggle, something that they're facing or working through. And as this particular gal had opened up and shared that, there were tears literally amongst almost everyone, if not everyone in the room.
Yeah, it got pretty misty.
And then we had another gal who chimed in and said, I struggle with that too, or that's mm-hmm. a big issue for me too. And they were able to connect on the exact same thing and offer some support and encouragement through their stories.
Yep.
But that vulnerability had to happen with something like an in-person event to open up and share, because if not, they wouldn't have been able to connect on that.
Mm-hmm.
If that one particular gal didn't open up and share what was on her heart that night, the other one wouldn't have been able to connect with it. And it just goes to show she allowed that vulnerability in her life. A lot of the ladies that were there, we knew some of them. We didn't know everybody there. Not one person knew every single person there. They were new. Some were new for me from Sam's friends and family, and some were new for her from my friends and family. But yet we allowed that vulnerability. She allowed that wall to come down and open up and share. And look what happened. Tears were had and a connection was made.
Bada bing, bada boom, vulnerability.
Vulnerability.
Bridged the gap.
Bridged
straight
the gap.
To connection.
You're so funny.
You know, we're just out here doing God's work.
Yes, trying to anyways. Thankful that he allows us to do that.
Yes.
It was kind of something that drew us in that vulnerability of what occurred that night. And I think we both actually opened up and shared how amazing it was and how great it felt that these women opened up and connected that way, because we didn't see Mm-mm. that happening, but it did. And it was beautiful.
It was. It was nice to feel that we provided a space for people to do that. And just as they shared their side of the scenario, there were some others. You know, the two that shared that had that connection, similar age mm-hmm. category. Then we had some others that were there who shared who were a different age category, much younger, and they saw it from a different standpoint.
Mm-hmm.
And I was looking at it like, oh, wow, I didn't even make that connection. But wow, I'm so glad you took that from that, because that you can take that home and take it to the bank. Like, that was good for that person as well. It was just cool to be able to provide that space. And we learned a lot.
Mm-hmm.
I learned something about the people that shared, and they learned about things from us that we hadn't shared with them before. And it was just really cool to make those connections. And as an introvert, I can tell you it wasn't that scary. Okay. All day I felt like I was going to barf and throw up. I just need to start carrying a barf bag around with me. I was nervous and anxious, but the time that I was the least anxious was the time that we were talking about all of that.
Oh, interesting.
It's almost like once the deep connection and conversation opens up, it's almost like my anxiousness goes away. And I feel like, I'm safe here and I can talk about these things here. Mm-hmm. And I think that is something in a lot of friendships that I struggle with is I'm not great with bridging the gap to take a friendship from one level to the next. Earlier I was like, I'm the alpha personality. And now I'm like, I'm not great about bridging that gap and being the leader, but I think it just depends on the situation. But I've seen it more so as I've had different things happen and different experienced different things and different hurt and grief. I think I pulled back from bridging the gap, right? I pulled back from being vulnerable to make those connections. But a lot of times in friendships, I see it's just surface level, mm-hmm. you know? And I don't enjoy it when it's a surface level, and
which is true. It's almost kind of awkward. It's like, hi, how are you? How's work? How's the kids? And mm-hmm. it's like, okay, what else do we talk about? And unfortunately with some people, that's just how it is. It's surface level because you don't want to go deeper with that person. They don't want to go deeper with you. Maybe the connection is just not there. But going back, I'm sorry, I'm giggling because you mentioned earlier about how the only time at our event that you felt you can let that guard down and the anxiety went away is when we opened up and shared. Yet a lot of the ladies that were there, a majority of them shared that they are introverts. They're usually the ones who we asked everybody, raise your hand, who tends to be one of like wanting to be around a bunch of people and who would rather be at home in their PJs right now. And the amount of hands that went up for the introverts and would have rather stayed home totally surprised me because they're like, this is kind of awkward. It's weird, especially walking in not knowing anybody, right? There was mm-hmm. several ladies that came in that only knew me and nobody else or only knew you and nobody else. And so that part was kind of hard, but it's funny because so many in the room were those introverts that are like, I really didn't want to come and this is kind of awkward. And I'm over here, the total opposite extrovert that I was like, woohoo, all these women in my house, let's party, let's have a good time. But it shows like the connection that we can have doesn't always necessarily need to be like extrovert, extrovert. A lot of times it is that opposites attract. But anyways, going back to the vulnerability, the key connections are made when we allow those walls to come down and we allow ourselves to open up and show that piece of ourselves.
Yeah. As soon as someone's willing to take it deep and take off the surface level mask and get down to it, I'm like, oh, okay, cool. Yeah, here we go. Let me get my notebook out. Let's talk. Let's chat. And
she's not kidding about the notebook, guys.
Or my lists. Don't get me started, Marina.
Hers loves a good notebook.
I love a notebook, okay? I like to take notes. So, sidebar. Does anybody else out there experience this? From trauma, I no longer have much of a memory. It has...
Yes.
That's
a whole nother topic for another episode because, girl, yes.
My mom and I had a conversation not long ago. We were talking about a family friend whose daughter was experiencing something in high school, and it was something very similar to what I had experienced, which is, you know, on the topic of some pretty nasty bullying. And my mom was like, well, do you remember when this girl said this, this, and this to you? And I said, no. Like, not at all. And it would have been something that was a pretty massive. I was appalled hearing that now at the age that I'm at. Like, I'm sorry. Someone said that to me. Like, it was massive. And we can talk about it another time. But anyways, that's the key of notebooks for me and the notes in my phone is that after experiencing some traumatic experiences, my brain, I think it has to come from like my cortisol levels are so stinking high mm-hmm. and I'm in fight or flight mode 95% of the time, as soon as anything like heightens my stress, as soon as anything just barely starts to heighten it, like my brain blacks it out. Mm-hmm. It's like, oh no, we're not going to remember that. I think 'cause I'm already so at that heightened stage already. We'll save this topic for another time, but that's why I use my notebooks. It's 'cause I can't remember anything. Oh, one quick thing before we wrap this up. I was going there and then the notebook thing took me somewhere else. We were talking about surface level mask, taking it off, sitting down and being vulnerable. And I'm like, yeah, cool. You want to get deep and you want to talk about real life stuff? Cool. Let me get my notebook out and let's talk about it. I think I enjoy that more. Something I saw earlier too said being vulnerable opens us up to the experience, to experience the fullness of what life has to offer. I feel like that's the connection that I'm making in that moment is mm-hmm. like, I'm fully experiencing connection now. The mask, the surface level is I can see right through it and it's very fake to me. So I don't even want to invest my time and energy into it, unfortunately, because it's like if it's not this, I don't want to. But then on the same side of the stinking coin, I'm like, well, I don't want to be vulnerable. I just want you to be. Mm-hmm. Go ahead and open up. Mm-hmm. Let me hear it. And then if I feel like, okay, sure, maybe.
Well, I think that's where a lot of friendships and things start is one person has to be willing to take that first step and be vulnerable and open up.
Yeah.
And then it slowly starts to drop the wall and the guard of the other person to say like, okay, if they're sharing this and they're trusting me with it, then maybe I can feel safe in sharing some things about myself too. Not necessarily that you do it right away, but I think mm-hmm. in any relationship, whether it be a romantic one or a friendship, someone has to be willing to kind of take that first step and allow mm-hmm. themselves to be vulnerable. And
yeah.
And then it'll slowly start to, especially for those of us who have dealt with trust issues or even hurt from past experiences.
Yeah. Romantic relationships, friendships, and even family.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
There's a lot of people out there who are disconnected from family members. You could bridge the gap. You could be the person to be vulnerable and open that up. Go ahead.
But you have to make that choice.
Yep.
Be the bigger person.
Listen, I'm not saying it's easy, but it's a work in progress.
I don't know. Like you said, I'd much rather have those deep connections than those surface level conversations. Mm-hmm. To me, it's just a waste of time and energy. God made us, he created us to fellowship, he created us to connect with one another, and that is why many of you may be feeling, where's my friends, how come I don't have any friends? God created that in you. He created that urge to have that connection. And if you're lacking that, it's because of that reason. And like I said earlier, I just want to encourage you, for those of you guys that if you've maybe feeling like, where's my tribe? How come I don't have any friends or I can't keep friends? My encouragement and challenge question to you is truly look in the mirror and ask yourself, have I allowed myself to be vulnerable? Have I allowed myself to work through these friendships or tough it out with friends and these people? Or do you tend to put the approach like, I don't need them, I'm fine on my own, I'm independent, I don't need to do this, you know what I mean? And that's another topic that we will go into. Are you building a wall to keep those people, to keep anyone out? Walls and boundaries are two different things. Many people try to say, oh, I have a boundary with this person. Yes. But in another episode, we can talk about the differences between putting up walls and creating boundaries and what those look like.
Yeah.
So we thank you, ladies, so much for joining us on today's topic. Thank you again for your patience in allowing us to get all the kinks worked out on our end over here. And until next time on our next episode, feel free to share with someone if it connected with you. Maybe it can help others. Don't forget to like and leave us some comments. Let us know what you think. Yep. Until next time.
See ya.
Bye.